Hey there, fellow travelers, on the road to recovery, healing, becoming whole, or as whole as can be. I'm Shane Mayer, and I want to welcome you to a brand new episode of Addiction Files. This podcast is all about hope, healing, and the remarkable journey from darkness to light, from emptiness to fullness, embracing your fractures, and finding beauty in imperfection. So today we did a topic in one of our groups, and the topic was, what is recovery to you? What does recovery mean to you? If you had to explain recovery to the newcomer, what would that be? How would that look? How would that feel? You know? What kind of advice could you give yourself or to a younger version of yourself about recovery? What has recovery taught you so far? You see, often recovery can be confused by the medical setting. Okay. So either there's a cure or there's no cure. Either this person is showing symptoms, current symptoms of their addiction, or they're not, or maybe only slightly. Okay, but this thing of recovery, it's your personal journey, a personal journey to self-actualization. Okay, so irrespective of what we've been through in our lives, the human nature, your very value of your existence is to strive to be better. It's in us. It's in our DNA. It's who we are. Okay? So that journey of recovery is really above and beyond personality struggles. Above and beyond what you like and what you don't like, or what I like and what I don't like, about recovery, about healing. It's about being able to be grounded in the principles of recovery, the 12 steps, 12 traditions, connection, service, unity, okay, fellowship. It's about being able to be grounded in these principles, but then apply them to your daily living. Okay? You see, recovery has always been a thing of resistance for me initially. And then as I slowly let go and surrender time and time again, it unveiled a new beauty to life that I'd never seen before. Okay? It unveiled a part of, how can I say this? A part of this walk. You know, this highway that we, not a highway, but a pathway that we're walking on that nobody can walk with us on. We have to walk it ourselves, right? But it unveils a path of its beauty, and each time the beauty shines, it's from a place where I've looked at what has been the dysfunction of my default setting. So what do I mean by that? So each and every single person, we're unique. And we're not the same. I mean, even something as small as our fingerprints and our DNA, to an extent, could tell us that. Right? But the characteristics of addiction manifests the same with everybody. Okay? It may differ slightly from somebody who is your profile marijuana user or meth user, whatever the case may be, right? But the manifestation is the same. So what is the manifestation? So recovery then taught me along the line that, hold on a minute, in my default setting, I'm completely dysfunctional. What is that dysfunction? Okay, what dysfunction am I feeding into that's this tiny little cog, okay, that is like this mechanism that's turning the larger wheels of my life and my being and who I am as a person to engage in things that are not considered normal, and also things that are actually like taking ourselves out at the end of the day. Okay, so recovery always places this emphasis on the small things. Why? Because we know the small things usually lead to the bigger issues. Okay, and then obviously, as time goes by, if we don't address the dysfunction, if we don't address warning signs or triggers or character defects that are acting up and playing out, if we're not grounded in the principle where I am then the master of my own destiny, and I am in this, I've taken the driver's wheel and I've decided, hey, I'm driving, okay, then we cannot be surprised later on if we relapse, right? Now, this is not an episode focused on that, but I would like to just draw significance to recovery places emphasis on the smaller things, the smaller details. Okay, so if I really look back in introspection, I can then start to look, hold on a minute. Okay, I missed this warning sign. I missed that warning sign. Okay, I kind of like, okay, cool. I kind of developed an attitude ultimately of indifference. An indifference towards spiritual principles. Right? And in that indifference, in that place where I thought I could just do my own thing, it led me to feeling discomfort, loneliness, hurt, sad, right? So if recovery places emphasis on these smaller things along the journey, I've learned to say, hey, okay, so my default setting is complete dysfunction and pain, right? So let me then start to dissect all of these ways it is said that addiction manifests itself. Okay, so I started dissecting myself in relation to shame and guilt, to control, to manipulation, to denial, okay, to codependency, to anger, okay, to, how can I say this, to self-esteem, to toxic love, to whatever, right? And I'm not saying that everything is always going to apply 100% to you, right? But there are so many things that we will always kind of find a resounding relation to if we're open-minded enough to hear it. Okay, and what do I mean by that? So if I dissect these unhealthy patterns in my life, I can then more easily see when I am gearing the small cog that is driving this machine of addiction, right? More quickly, I can disengage. You know, so it's easy for us to go back to our default setting. Our default setting where we live with a discomfort, and drugs and alcohol and eating and gambling and sex are just the mere remedy, okay, to kind of take away that feeling, take away that problem, okay? The problem is still there. The disease is still there. Just because I've stopped using drugs and alcohol doesn't mean that the disease has disappeared. No. So if I look at the smaller things of recovery, okay, and I start to dissect these small things, and I start to find out and look within myself, within this journey, I can see, hold on a minute, I have an issue with X, Y, and Z. Now, I said to you earlier that, you know, I was resistant to recovery in the beginning, you know, because let's just face it, anyone who really engages in the 12-step program initially may feel like, quite resistant. The stuff's not really for me. You know, it's quite easy to conceptualize this program. This program wasn't made for geniuses, right? But often we can be too clever for our own good and then struggle with something like analysis paralysis. You know, thinking about thinking and then thinking about thinking about thinking. And eventually we get so tired that we find that switch and we just want to switch the whole world off. We just want to switch everything off. You know, so I encourage you today to ask yourself, what is recovery to you? You know, if it's this vast field, if it's this vast forest, if it's this vast, like theater, where each stage along our way is presenting different pictures of who we are, who we were, who we want to be, and where we are in relation to that. You know, it kind of changes our perspective slightly on how we go about even approaching the 12 steps, tackling the 12 steps. You know, like we could do step one now, and then step two, and then step three, right? But just as we're doing them now, we can start on step 10, 11, and 12, and we can quickly find out that this 12-step program echoes itself right throughout the program from step 1. Step 10 can echo step 2. Step 11 could echo step 3 and 4, right? Step 9 could echo step 4, even in a sense, where I'm really looking at my part in situations, where I'm really looking at areas where I'm struggling still to adapt, areas I'm still struggling to surrender. Okay, I think the tricky thing about recovery from addiction is that people can often get stuck in societal or medical views of what addiction is, you know? And it's like, okay, well, let's just focus on the drug. Let's just focus on the symptom, you know? And even if we don't want to focus on the symptom, there's like this subtle block that's in our mind that every time we hear addiction or think about addiction, it's drugs we think of. You know, it's like somebody going to rehab just for the sake of staying clean. You know, I often say to guys, you're missing the point if that is the reason that you're solely going to rehab is to be clean. Right? We strive for a life of serenity to become whole. Healing, self-actualizing, connecting, right? Spirituality, a sense of connectedness with not just my higher power or God, but to somebody else. And then most importantly as well, to myself. Am I still divorced from myself? Are there still things inside of me that I need to look at? So, that's the thing about recovery being above personality, above how I feel about certain things at any given time. The feelings are actually the triggers to the obstacles that we need to face. If somebody confronts me, tell me I have an anger issue, and all of a sudden I become quite passive aggressive with these people, and I'm sitting and I'm thinking, and in my head, you know, the dialogue is spinning and spinning and spinning around my head. You know, that is a classic case of, hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, what harm can it do to look at things like anger? You know, how is anger stopping me from healing? How is denial stopping me? So if I look back at resistance for myself, you know, I had this complex system of denial. It wasn't just like, okay, yeah, I know I got a problem, which is your simple denial, but there were more complicated issues to that. You know, there was a block. There was a block in me being able to make whatever I have learned tangible to my life. What do I mean by that? So if I'm asked a question in the steps, choose any step, right? And you ask me this question, I could probably answer this question in like 2 seconds, even if I knew jack shit about recovery, or I just came into recovery and had been exposed for a short while. Why? Because recovery is easy to conceptualize, right? But quite different when I have to make that information tangible to my life. I have to use examples I can see in my mind. I can hear, I can smell, I can taste, right? I've got to use those examples and draw it in, take the 12 steps and draw it into that context of my life. Because what happens there, right? And it's not, and that is what makes this program probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do, but one of the most, if not the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. You know, don't look at the 12 steps and think, oh, I'm a doctor, man. I don't need this stuff. This is easy. This is easy crap over here. No. 12 steps not made for intelligent people. 12 step is made for people who are broken. You know? And if we look left and we look right and we really take a step back and look at our peers, there are a lot more people that could use the 12-step program and recovery and healing and therapy, right, than what society or those people would like to acknowledge. Okay, so it's important that we take whatever program that we're doing and we make it tangible to our life. We've got to be able to see how this question that is being asked to me right now applies to my default setting, to my active addiction, to my former state, to the state I'm trying to heal from. Right? How does that question relate? I want to change that, right? But the only way I can really change that is if it's tangible to me and I can understand it. It's pointless if we grab a whole bunch of information. It's not tangible to our lives or to our situations. And it's almost impossible to remember, right? These principles are becoming of the 12 steps, and I'm just using the 12 steps as an example right now. They become ingrained in our way of living. You see, I read something great. It said, nowhere in the 12 steps, nowhere is the word I. In fact, every step starts with the word we. So who is your we? You know, I cannot do the 12 steps alone, but we, together, we can. That's a form of spirituality. You know, when you go to meetings and you're seeing like people who may have, you know, been down the road a little bit longer, and they just seem vibrant, they seem peaceful, they seem joyful. Yes, what you're experiencing there is a vibe, is an energy of spirituality, right? So we've got to unlearn the way we usually do things, the stories we made up in our heads about the world around us and the world inside of us. Okay? It's these little things. What I've just explained now could be something like fellowship, service, right? The fellowship is the real connection. You know, if people say the opposite of addiction is connection, okay, great. Okay, then what am I connecting to? Who am I attaching to? Okay? What principles am I struggling to stick to when it comes to recovery? So, I mean, it's easy to say, stick to the principles of recovery. You know, I'm not really into recovery as such, but, you know, this and this works for me. Okay, it's great that you found stuff that works for you. But you've always got to ask yourself the question, why does that stuff not apply to me? Why do I say it? Why do I say that I don't relate to anger? Why do I say that codependency? Nah, not really me. Why do I say that, oh no, I can go to old places that are associated with my addiction? Why does that not apply to me? But here's the trick. Don't just ask yourself that question. Ask your group. Why? And I've learned that if I take the cotton wool out of my ears and put it in my mouth and listen for just long enough, questions are answered, you see. Questions are answered without sometimes even having asked them, as long as I'm listening. But if you're struggling at this point in time with certain questions, make sure you bring it to the we. We admitted that we were powerless over our addiction. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us back to sanity. We made a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understood Him. For we made a search and a fearless and searching moral inventory. We. Right? We. So if I'm struggling with something, if I'm resistant towards something, it is important that I bring my question to the we. Otherwise, the I is going to drive me straight back to that dysfunctional cogwheel. Right? You see, that's the amazing thing about recovery. Like, the 12 steps are really 20% of your program. Right? But it unlocks the 80% of the issues that I work through. And I work through them from a holistic point of view. Through my sponsor. Through therapy. Through groups. Right? And that is what makes recovery so amazing. So what is then recovery to you? You know, I always say, like, we can't view recovery as a prison, right? We cannot view it as this prison mentality. Okay, these are the rules. That's why I have to follow these rules, etc., etc. No, these are spiritual principles, right? You don't have to do anything. A person doesn't even have to follow not one single rule. A person doesn't even have to go to a meeting if they don't want to. You see, recovery is based on promotion. Attraction rather than promotion. You know, you look at your meetings, your groups, NAs, AAs. It's always about attraction rather than promotion. It's about similarities rather than differences. So when they talk similarities, think of default setting. Think of, okay, so what is my default setting? It's the manifestation of my addiction, right? And I know that everybody in the group can relate to that. And I know their stories I can also relate to. The manifestation of their addiction I can relate to as well. It doesn't mean that we're going to become these captain recovery heroes, you know, always so excellently placing emphasis on other people all the time. No, it's a personal journey. This is a personal journey. So when I say, as long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than the ties that tear us apart, all will be well. So what is a dangerous thing for us? The dangerous thing for us is the attitude of indifference when it comes to recovery. You know, how and what is happening when I'm being dysfunctional? What are those things? What is recovery to me? This is never going to be a destination. You know, I cringe every time somebody tells me, yeah, I'm recovered. You know, I'm like, oh, wow. Great stuff, man. Like, what is that even? It's like somebody telling me that they've surrendered. Oh, I've done step three. I've surrendered. Okay. Great. You know, did they stop living? that they all of a sudden start living in a vacuum where they no longer subject to situations that are difficult or situations that are life on life's terms. And now I need to surrender again and again and again and again. Why do I do that? I do that for my serenity and my sobriety. So the point there is we don't do recovery just to be clean. It's to become whole, because the fruit of that, right, will be staying clean. The fruit of that will be less of a desire to pick up. Okay. So thank you for listening to this episode. Please share and subscribe if you are enjoying our episodes. I'm Shane. Enjoy your day.